The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
DeAndre Hopkins, Lakers trade, Chris Paul on the move, Harden to Brooklyn? I'm not talking about any of that. A study out of Oxford University, one of the great universities on earth. In this country, you've got Harvard, Yale, Princeton, really Stanford's better than all of them, but Oxford and Cambridge in England, right? Oxford University did an enormous thing here. They did a research for the first time using a lot of data, actual playtime data, about video games and the effect on, you know, people's mental health. And it turns out that video gaming can benefit mental health, according to this Oxford study.
Yes.
So kids, if you're listening and your mom is telling you to do your homework, tell her, Ma, look, I have this study out of Oxford. Good for my mental health. You don't want me not to play video games. I could turn out psycho.
I can tell you what, though. Speaking of that, Madden took my grades from an A to like a C in college.
But were you happier? We're not talking about academic great achievement. We're talking about mental health.
I was so happy.
You know, it's true. And also, not the most learned man in the world. Maybe there's also a positive correlation there. I'm not always so happy, but I know everything, Raj. Maybe you're onto something. All right, look. God, there's so much to get into. First of all, you can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN. This is the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speaker. Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, 888-SAY-ESPN. That's the line, 729-3776. The Lakers and Thunder can formally agree to the Dennis Schroeder deal today, according to Woj. Adrian Wojnarowski dropped a Woj bomb. Interesting. It's a first-round pick, a late first-round pick. And Danny Green, who I like Danny Green a lot. He's had a real good career. But and like what I like about Danny Green is he's a relatively inexpensive 20% of a championship starting lineup. Like a 3-and-D guy who doesn't need the ball and he's big and strong and he can do a lot for you. But he didn't have a great year on the Lakers. And he's getting older and he's expensive. And Dennis Schroeder, that's how you pronounce it, Schroeder, not Schroeder. Dennis Schroeder, when he got to the Thunder, I thought, well, he's one, you know, it's hard to tell the empty calorie guys, right? He could fill up the stats on a bad team, Schroeder. He's not a defender. No, he was a defender for the Thunder, and he was quite good for the Thunder. He shot it well, and he defended well. And he seems to be ascending. Like, people are saying, arguably, the best season of his career. Last season was by so far the best season of Schroeder's career. It's a joke. He ascended from, I don't know if I really want that guy on my, to that guy is an above average, I know he's off the, I think he's an above average starting point guard if he continues his play from last year. And that's saying a lot because there are a lot of good starting point guards in a 30-team league. I would say his, at least an average starting point guard, which is a valuable thing, but I'd say above average. And he's young and ascending. And the Lakers are going to lose Rondo. That hurts in the playoffs, but in the regular season, they're probably even better than they were last year with Schroeder. And if they go after Wesley Matthews to replace Danny Green, not as big and strong, but Wesley Matthews can shoot and play defense. And that's all you really need. Like, Schroeder has the ball in his hands, and LeBron has the ball in his hands, and AD, obviously, you're going to feed him. Now you need to round it out with some 3-and-D guys. That's Wesley Matthews, and he's cheap compared to Danny Green. The Lakers are very, very good, and they may need to be very, very good because I'll tell you what, if Brooklyn gets James Harden, it's not a great fit. It really isn't. I don't think if you just stack the talent of Kyrie, James Harden, and Kevin Durant, I think that would be higher than the actual fit and results of Kyrie, James Harden, and Kevin Durant because you have two ball stoppers, two guys who really need the ball, and not a lot of ball movement. That said, the history of the league tells us the following. Even if the fit isn't perfect, and Daryl Morey showed you this, like, oh, Chris Paul's available? Yeah, bring him in. Okay, Russell Westbrook? Yeah, bring him in with Harden. The history of the league is the most talented team wins. And Harden, KD, and Kyrie on the same team would be very tough for anyone in the East, and even tough for the Lakers. Lakers may have to do some more fine-tuning after the Schroeder deal if Harden winds up in Brooklyn. And when you think about Brooklyn, could they do it? Draft pick, Caris LeVert, Dinwiddie, or some kind of three-team trade? They seem to have enough maybe to get it done if Harden really wants out. Although I'll say if the Sixers are willing to part with Ben Simmons and Simmons checks his health checks out, if I'm the Rockets, I might be like, yeah, sorry, James, I know you want to go to Brooklyn, but we can get Ben Simmons. See you later. Like, if we're going to trade you, we need to get, because LeVert's a nice player, and so is Dinwiddie, but neither one is Ben Simmons. And if I'm the Rockets, sure, I'd like to help you out, James, but not, you know, can I get Ben Simmons out of this deal? No, in that case, you're going to Philadelphia and not Brooklyn. There's so much going on. Oh, my God. The sick thing about that DeAndre Hopkins play, the Kyler Murray DeAndre Hopkins play, game on the line. Tell me a play. I'm not, by the way, I tweeted this yesterday and everyone was like, oh, what about Aaron Rodgers? He did it here. I'm not saying it's never happened before, geniuses. I'm not saying Kyler Murray's as good as Aaron Rodgers. I'm saying, how many times have you seen a play that was that good on both sides in that high a leverage moment? Game on the line, no time left, 1 second left, whatever. Quarterback evades pressure, uses his legs, eyes down the field, and then flings a Hail Mary. I mean, like, Kyler Murray flicked it and it went a billion yards. And then on the other end, the receiver in traffic, three dudes on him, comes down with the ball. And DeAndre Hopkins after the game was like, everyone was in position. He was good. You know, I love these, like, it's like fighters who are like, yo, he's not any good, this and that. Okay, so when you beat him, don't crow about it. If he's not good, listen to DeAndre Hopkins.
You know, in basketball terminology, that's what they call this. You know, when somebody get dunked on. But it was on three people. Yeah. That was, you know, they were in position. It was just a better catch by I.
He's right. He's not downing them. He's like, there are three dudes there. They all had position. I just came down with the ball. He's absolutely right. Ryan Clark said on First Take today, he's the best contested receiver ever. By the way, I think that's right. When I think of the best hands I've ever seen, I have three guys in mind. Chronological order, Chris Carter, Larry Fitzgerald, DeAndre Hopkins. But if you're saying, like, not just hands, but I want you to catch the ball that's being contested, I think maybe Hopkins is my guy. If I want a guy to catch the ball and come down with it, play down the field and everything on the run, maybe Fitzgerald. But
they're
like
situations too.
What's that?
Megatron in those situations too.
Yeah, Megatron. Megatron can do a lot of stuff. But just in terms of, it's a little unfair for Calvin Johnson because he was so good in so many ways that it's like you discount certain aspects of it because that's not the thing he's known for necessarily. Yeah. And it is for DeAndre Hopkins, but Hopkins is just insane. The way, and like, so think about this. Arizona, so like, listen, Eli Manning, David Tyree is a way better play, way more important. I get, like, by the way, that was, the Patriots were about to be crowned the greatest team in the history of American sports. No question. They were undefeated the whole time. Set every record, right? Tom Brady, Randy Moss. Eli Manning, with five dudes on him, play could have been whistled dead, by the way, just gets rid of the ball, and David Tyree catches it against his helmet. If it touches one blade of grass, it doesn't count, but he catches it, and it does. It avoids a blade of grass by a micro inch, and it counts, and the Giants win the game with, you know, when Eli linked up with Plex. But so that's a better play. Sure, I'm not saying they're never better plays. Aaron Rodgers against Arizona threw a 50, 60-yard Hail Mary. They called it back. He did it again on the next play to Rodgers, right? What's his name? Rodgers, was he a tight end or a receiver? Anyway, the point is, Richard Rodgers? I'm forgetting. It's only a few years ago. I'm already forgetting. Anyway, the point is, I'm not, like, Aaron Rodgers is amazing, and he spun out to do it. I'm not saying it's the best play. I'm saying you have to start thinking about plays like that to find a more impressive play on both ends of the reception, the quarterback, what he did, and what the receiver did, especially with the game on the line, especially against a team like the Bills, because early in that game, it's like, oh, my God, is Josh Allen the MVP? And now think about this for Arizona, they don't have Chandler Jones, the bicep injury, he's out for the year. They don't have, you know, Patrick Peterson's not the same. Isaiah Simmons is not what we thought he'd be. But now picture this. If they win the NFC West, by the way, are they live in the playoffs? You won the hardest division in football. Don't tell me you're not live in the playoffs. And they might. But think about this. Your team is playing Arizona. Okay? A lot going on in Arizona today. The Suns, the Cardinals, big day for Arizona. Sports. Are we on in Arizona, Raj? Other than Sirius XM?
I have to double check that. Go keep talking. I'll go.
I don't know. I don't even know if you deserve me talking about this. But I'm going to do it anyway. Damn it, because they deserve it. The sports, the teams themselves deserve it. If you get out of the NFC West, you just won the best division in football. You got to play the Seahawks, the Rams, and the Niners twice each. You're live in the playoffs. But now picture this. Raj, who do you root for? Who's your team? Raj, Cowboys?
Yeah. And we're on in Phoenix, by the way. Phoenix is hearing everywhere.
You're a terrible person for liking the Cowboys.
No.
But imagine somehow, forget about the Cowboys, it doesn't count. Think if you're the team of another, you're a fan of another team. And it's close in the playoffs. Some NFC team, you're like the Packers, I don't know. Who do you like who might make the playoffs, right? The Saints or the Bucks or whatever. Arizona's hanging around in the game. They're down a score, but Kyler Murray has the ball in his hands. If I am playing Arizona, and especially if I'm the favored team and I really think I can win a Super Bowl, I need to be up at least two scores at the end of the game. Because if Kyler Murray got the ball in his hands, I'm thinking, here's the problem. You can do every single thing right on defense on the quarterback, and you can do every single thing right on defense to the wideout, and it may not matter. There's maybe just nothing you can do. It's like Shaq catches the ball in the paint. What are you going to do? Yeah, he's just too big and strong. Yeah, Kyler's just too fast and elusive, and he can flick the ball down the field like that. And DeAndre Hopkins, it doesn't matter how many guys you put on him. He might come down with the ball. That's terrifying if you're playing against that. Andre in Massachusetts, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
How you doing, Max? Thanks for taking my call. I want to chime in real quick on the CP3 trade. I think the Suns did well, pairing him with Booker and Ayton, but I'm...
Well, that's very interesting that you say that. You hear that, Raj?
Yeah.
News for Max Kellerman Nation. Andre just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call line, and he said, best point a caller's made in a week.
So OKC got the best part of the deal. He thinks OKC got the best part of that.
Look, here's the thing. If you want to get out of Chris Paul's contract, fine, but he can still play. And if you want to get out from under the money, fine. But if you're a young franchise and you want a real leader on the team, do you understand? When you look at the Suns, all they did was trim the fat. They didn't get rid of a single piece you really need on that team, or even one of the pieces you'd want to keep. I don't see a single player I'm like, I really wish I could have kept him if I'm a Suns fan. You kept Mikal Bridges. You kept Cam Johnson. You kept Dario Saric. Obviously you kept DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker. What'd you lose? And you picked up Chris Paul? Oh, hell yeah. And I think it's a much higher kind of bigger inflection point for the Suns than a lot of people realize. The Suns went undefeated in the bubble. The Suns are very good. Devin Booker's not an empty calorie two guard. He's a superstar. You have a chance to pick up Chris Paul. Yeah, you're going to have to pay him some money when he's not good anymore. Right? You're going to have to. But you're also going to pay him some money when he's quite good. And he's going to show these guys what it's about, especially if you have a player like DeAndre Ayton. The only question among the six most important players on this team is about DeAndre Ayton. What's he going to wind up being? Just a good NBA player, which he already is, or something more than that? Don't let Chris Paul see a 7-footer who he thinks is lollygagging or making mental errors. Chris Paul's like, hold on, homeboy. I'm 6 feet. I ain't the fastest, the strongest. I don't jump the highest. I don't even shoot it the best. But I'm an all-time great. He's not trying to hear some number one overall draft pick who's 7 feet tall and already averaging about 20 and 10, like 18 or 19 and 12 or whatever it is. He's not trying to hear with a block and a half. He's not trying to hear that, you know, that's where that dude's going to plateau. Jason in White Plains, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yo, Max, what's going on, man? How you doing?
What's up, Jason?
Yo, I be hearing people talk about Lamar, man. You remember he went to Louisville? You remember mm-hmm. that big game he had in Louisville where he's going to throw it to, like, Swift, I think the receiver was.
And he didn't see the first down marker?
Yeah, it was like it's always something else with Lamar Jackson other than Lamar Jackson. I mean, he's not a, like a traditional quarterback, but people be giving him like these.
No, I don't get – listen, I like Lamar a lot. Here's my problem with him. He doesn't play well in the biggest profile games. I'm not talking about yesterday against the Patriots, okay? Because you're not going to win every single other game. He's now 25-2 when you're not talking about the Chiefs, the Roethlisberger-led Steelers, or the playoffs. But if you are the Ravens, the pressure games are always going to be against the Chiefs because that's the biggest obstacle in the AFC. Always going to be against the Steelers because that's the best rivalry in football right now. But not the Roethlisberger-less Steelers, the Roethlisberger-led Steelers. And it's always going to be in the playoffs. He's 0-6 in those games, and he didn't play well in them. Not that the Ravens played well either in all those games. But he's the leader. You can see Lamar has a great personality. You can see why people want to play hard for him. You could see why his teammates love him. But that also, and by the way, you can see why he helps lead them. Yes, and Orlovsky on you know, Get Up and all the shows on ESPN and NFL Live could tell you about the three tight end sets and what that does and how Harbaugh's scheme does. Okay, fine. But Lamar gets a lot of credit when they win, and he deserves it. And he's a spectacular player. His issue to me is not that he can't beat good teams just because he lost to the Patriots yesterday. Whatever. He's beaten a lot of good teams in his career. He can't win in the big ones so far. I don't consider yesterday a big one. He lost it, whatever. You're not going to win every game. I'm talking about the Chiefs, the Steelers, the playoffs. That's when I have my eye on Lamar Jackson. The Chiefs, because you're in the AFC. The Steelers, because that's your rival. The playoffs, because that's what it's all about. Dr. Pepper, call in line 888-SAY-ESPN. That was news from Max Kellerman Nation. Jason just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call in line. No practice, no problem for one AFC contender.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
On no practice, Ben Roethlisberger had his best game of the season. Roethlisberger's had a, and by the way, the Steelers are undefeated. Roethlisberger has not been great this year. He's been great for a 38-year-old coming off a catastrophic injury. But he has not just been great, but he's quite good yesterday. No practice? I thought the Bengals would upset the Steelers. I thought, oh, here comes a sneeze.
I love live radio, boy. Ain't nothing like live radio. You go ahead with yourself.
It's dusty. What can I do? I can't do. Listen, when I was younger, I'd hold in the sneeze, you know, and then your neck blows up like a frog.
Yeah.
No, I can't do it. I just sneeze. That's all. I like to make a big show when I sneeze. Achoo! So everyone sees me. Notice me, everyone. They beat the hell out of the Bengals, 36-10. Roethlisberger said, quote, "Really just feel nice and rested coming in today. Tried to talk coach into seeing if I could take next week off too." Ha ha. Roethlisberger spent 5 days in isolation after being labeled a high-risk close contact of tight end Vance McDonald. You know, Roethlisberger and the Steelers have an interesting football legacy. They've always been in contention. But as long as Brady's was with Belichick in New England, and I'm not saying, look, when someone's a roadblock, it doesn't necessarily mean those two teams play all the time and that one team can't get over the hump. But there are some years, maybe, like in the last 4 years, the Patriots stopped the Steelers at least once, right? Maybe that Steelers team goes all the way. Who knows? They've had some really good teams. But now there's no Patriots roadblock, it doesn't look like, in the AFC, right? It's the Chiefs. They got a couple Super Bowls in Roethlisberger's career, one of them in which he was instrumental at, you know, actually winning, the other where he didn't stop his team from winning. I always thought Eli Manning maybe needed one more at least Super Bowl appearance to get into the Hall of Fame, but I think he's going to get in anyway, and I think Roethlisberger's already in. But how are we going to remember these Pittsburgh teams in this era if Roethlisberger never gets back? This seems like as good a year as any to get back. Yep, they're going to have to upset the Chiefs to do it eventually, but, all right, look, the Steelers' defense has been excellent. Roethlisberger just played his best game. Jason in Iowa, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, good to talk to you. How you doing?
Good, you too. Shoot.
Hey, I wanted to call and ask why no one is talking about Tua yesterday when he ran down the defender and saved a touchdown DK Metcalf style. By the way, we're only losing to Kansas City the rest of the way, and 12-4 wins the division in Miami.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, look, I like Miami a whole lot, and I don't know if he outplayed Herbert exactly. I would say it was a wash, and I would love to see Herbert on the Dolphins. But here's the thing about Tua. Remember Tom Brady or Russell Wilson when they started out? Just game manage. We got a good defense. We have a running game. Just game manage. Be big on third down. And in fact, Dak Prescott, too, though he hasn't reached Brady or Russell Wilson status. However, Brady, a sixth round pick. Dak, a third. Russell Wilson, a fourth. So early on, it was like, really, let's be conservative. And we didn't know if they were capable early on of being spectacular if you needed them to. Tua's a high first-round pick, unlike those guys. A high first-round pick. And may have been the number one overall pick had he not come off hip surgery. Maybe he'd have gone ahead of Burrow. I mean, he went ahead of Herbert, as is. And no, he's not tall. But he can move, and he can. He's an accurate left-handed quarterback. He's an accurate quarterback, period. But being left-handed, I think, you know, can also throw. Like just, it's like facing a southpaw in boxing a little bit. It throws you off. It can. Anyway, Tua has really just been asked, don't mess this up, kid. Do, you know, game manage, and he's done it. But when he was asked against Arizona, could you do a little bit more? The answer was yes. And unlike those late round picks, Brady or later round picks, and Russell Wilson, and then recently Dak Prescott, being a high first round pick, we already kind of understand you're capable of the spectacular. That's why you were drafted high in the first round. This dude was the Alabama quarterback. This dude was the guy who put his arm around Nick Saban after he screws up and then goes and puts his arm around Nick Saban. And is like, yeah, it's all right. I got this, coach. Yeah, no. Tua is special. And he has special qualities, at least. And he has an excellent team there. A really excellent team. Aggressive defensive team. So yeah, just game manage, game manage, game manage. But with the chips on the line, how's your confidence that Tua can do something spectacular? High, right? It's higher than early on Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, because he's drafted, like our whole perception of him coming into the league was different. Johnny in LA, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yo, Max, what's good, baby? What's good? I got a couple takes, man. First off, I got a shout out to Dustin Johnson, you know, for that record breaking performance. Even though I must say Tigers was better in '97 because he did it with what 12 shots, if I'm not mistaken, and Dustin did it with 5. So even though it was a great performance, I still got to give the edge to
competition's
Tiger.
Better now. Second, though the Tiger Woods effect is that the irony of Tiger Woods is he won't have as great a back nine of his career, so to speak, because of the effect of him. In other words, when Tiger Woods came on the scene, you know, it was a bunch of fat guys smoking cigarettes, right? Now, like when people saw Tiger Woods, a lot of mothers and fathers of athletic kids started putting golf clubs in their hands. You know, it's not just like, well, the kid really can't play any other sport and we're rich, right? Now, all of a sudden, much more of the population who are athletic, here, let's try golf. And so now Tiger and Dustin and everybody are facing much better athletes than they used to. It's like Tiger is a victim of his own success. So I don't know. I think winning by fewer strokes at the Masters is still you have to take a few strokes off in terms of by how much you need to win in order to compare apples to apples. What else you got? That's it. He had a couple takes, but I used up all his time because heavens knows I don't have enough time to talk. Victor in L.A., you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hey, what's up, Max? Hey, what's up, Max? How's it going?
Good, Victor. What's up?
I just want to know if Green Bay is a real deal or not.
You just want to know how it's going. It's going great, you know. Feeling good. I had some coffee before the show. I feel good. What do you want to know?
If Green Bay is a real deal or not.
Yeah, I don't know about that defense. I know when Bakhtiari is in, and they just gave him an enormous deal. Like $100 million deal. Big guarantee. But I don't know how much is guaranteed, actually. But I'm sure it's a lot. Bakhtiari, the question with him is he in the middle of a Hall of Fame career? Right? Like, you give a guy like that a contract, what you're betting on is, I just talked about Tiger's back nine. The back nine of Bakhtiari's career is going to be similar to the front nine. If that's true, he might be in the Hall of Fame. That dude is excellent. So they can protect Aaron Rodgers. They can block from the run when they are healthy. And Rodgers has receivers who are good enough to get it done and a running game. And the whole question comes down to the defense. Can the defense hold up? Same thing with Russell Wilson. Can the defense hold up? So much going on. I haven't even gotten to Terrence Crawford. Knocked out Kell Brook. Terrence Crawford went from a slick boxing lightweight into a power-punching welterweight. Now if Errol Spence beats Garcia, Crawford and Spence is the best fight in boxing.
Come on. Am I finally going to get it, Max? Can I finally see that fight?
Hope so.
Are the promotion team's going to get in the way?
I know Crawford's not in the way. Crawford wants to fight these dudes.
Yeah.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I'm going to give you a last take on Crawford Spence, then I'm going to take the calls.
Max, the podcast.
So Minnesota at Chicago, let me tell you something. Here's the one saving grace for Chicago if they can salvage this season. Nick Foles has not played well, but Nick Foles needs protection, line protection. Like, he's not a guy who's going to compensate for a bad offensive line. No running game, no receivers. Allen Robinson's good. They're a little thin after that. The running backs don't look good, but that's not the fault of the running backs, I don't think. It's the fault of the O-line. They can't pass protect. They can't run block. But here's the one thing about offensive line play. Yes, even if you lose the matchup one-on-one, I mean, the most important thing is get five guys in the line who are always winning their matchups. That's great, right? Then they play together. That's amazing. But usually over the course of a season, a line that plays together can get better because they can get to know each other better and start compensating for each other. And with chemistry, you can overcome some talent deficiency on the line. If the Bears can do that, their line must play better. If they can, they're very dangerous. They have an extremely talented defense, and they have a clutch quarterback. Who, by the way, Nick Foles, middle-of-the-pack quarterback. I'd say he's an average quarterback if he has O-line protection, right? He doesn't. But if he can get it, given that defense, the running game would get much better, and Foles could win. I'm going to say the Bears win this game with a slightly improved offensive line just based on chemistry. It's brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs. For protection on the road and on the water, see how much you can save in as little as 3 minutes at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's last take.
You know how often in boxing history I'd like someone to give me one example? Two undefeated fighters, both in or around their primes. They can both box and punch. If they fought each other, it would be to determine the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world. The fight promises a lot of action, and they're both operating in or around their best weight. Tell me even one other fight like that that you can remember. Trinidad and De La Hoya was a dud. It had a lot of that stuff, and the winner wouldn't have been the best pound-for-pound because Roy Jones was fighting. Pacquiao was not undefeated when he fought Mayweather. Leonard and Hearns won is close, but Leonard had lost to Duran. A very rare event in boxing history if Crawford and Spence link up. I hope they do. That's a 50-50 type of fight. If it's 51-49, my 51 goes to Crawford. Let's see. Rick in Florida, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hey, how you doing? From sunny South Florida, Max.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good.
Listen, I'm just happy. It's a great time to be a sports fan in South Florida. You got the Heat going to the finals. The Marlins going from poor to postseason with the manager of the year. The Panthers make the playoffs. The Hurricanes are contenders in the ACC, and the Dolphins are pushing for the postseason. It's great. It's all been a long time since Miami had that type of year.
I agree. And Miami, as I said earlier in the show, especially in football, Miami is like the Raiders, and they're both good this year. In the sense that Steelers and Cowboys, and because the last 20 years, the Patriots, these are national brands, national teams. The Raiders and the Miami Dolphins are also, but they don't give people enough time, like enough chances to show it. Right? When was the last time Miami really felt was a Super Bowl threat? Dan Marino's first season. Right. Oh, it's nice and Miami is a hot spot for sports right now. By the way, as I mentioned earlier in the show, Arizona too. Really? Look, the Suns pull off a deal for Chris Paul. The Cardinals with Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins. Problem with Arizona and Miami is everyone feels very bad for you in the sunshine all over the country. So we're glad at least you have this. Any time for any more? Let me see. Who should we take here? Johnny in L.A. Go ahead.
Yo, Max, what up, what up, what up, what up, Max?
You got 30 seconds. You spent half of it on what up. Go!
Hey, man, I got a solution to bring my Cowboys back to prominence, man.
Go ahead.
After this season, we need to make a blockbuster trade. We need to get rid of Dak and his contract, and we need to reunite Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy.
You know what? I can't believe I didn't think of this. That's exactly right. And then the Yankees should trade for Mike Trout and put him in center field. I don't know why. But by the way, why didn't I think of this strategy? Raj, the Knicks need to trade for LeBron James. if you get Aaron Rodgers, you're going to be really, really good. You ain't getting Aaron Rodgers. Lakers and Suns already making moves. We'll see if anything goes down in the NBA.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.